the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
This thing is absolutely on. Happy Easter, everyone. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are back in studio here to have some fun with you. After our little field trip to Chicago last week, we are, of course, in tow with our theme, but I think our theme may get slightly disrupted, but we are going to celebrate, as we do every year this time of year, the Easter egg phenomenon that is part of the technology vernacular. Easter eggs in the technology world are these hidden programs, little hidden features, little messages from the programmers themselves.
Yeah.
Not necessarily germane to the program, but, you know, interesting hello, how are you, a little nod to themselves. And they're hidden throughout programs, books, CDs, DVDs, websites. It's all over the place. So that is the premise for the show this week. If you've never seen or heard of anything to do with Easter eggs and computing, well, then we're going to learn you something new today. And that is that they're all around you, especially if you're into gaming, huh? Those gaming consoles and those gaming companies just...
No, they love doing that.
They do. So if this is your first venture down the Easter egg path when it comes to technology, join us online, won't you, at datadoctors.com/radio, and you'll see all of the links to all the different websites that are out there that that give you the step-by-step instructions on how to access these little Easter eggs, going all the way back to if you're one of those that still has one of the original Atari machines and you had the Adventure program, that's the program that was credited as the first to create the Easter egg phenomenon, if you will, or the Easter egg process for technology, so check all that out. Of course, we can't ignore the fact that today's the first day that anybody that really wants the latest and greatest in technology is talking about the iPad. And of course, joining us in the studio, you got the Data Doctors, Clay and Ken, and then you have Lewis from Mac Media, who's feverishly working on a brand new iPad that we acquired. We'll talk about that some more down the road, but you know, we're connecting it to the Wi-Fi and downloading apps. So we're going to post pictures and update video and do some interesting things with our Facebook page throughout the show as well. So,
in fact, throwing some of that stuff right now.
Yeah, and Facebook is really where we want you to ask your questions. We're not using email anymore because email means it's a one-to-one conversation. We want this to be a one-to-many. If somebody asks a question, we want everyone else that's part of the fan page to be able to see the question and the answer, because that's how we all kind of learn, is from other people's pain. If you have Windows, you have Windows pain, then you've come to the right place. 602-277-5827 is the phone number. 602-277-KTAR or the Facebook page. Those are the two ways you can engage with us here on the show today. Again, you can be calling about Easter eggs. I'd love to hear your favorite Easter egg, if you even know about them. I think a lot of people listening probably going, Easter egg, what are you talking about? Which is why we've posted all the content that we have, all the links that we have up on the webpage there, datadoctors.com/radio. The other reason you can call in is for anything that you have when it comes to technology, or since Lewis is here from Mac Media, dimes to donuts, you got a lot of people out there that are interested, curious, not necessarily going to go and spend the night in line to try to get an iPad, but certainly intrigued.
I was going to say, many people did that.
Not as many people as I thought might, but regardless, if you have a question about the iPad, not only do we have the guy that can get you an iPad, but we have an iPad here in studio that we're playing with. Maybe we can even try doing something that you're curious about, you know, real time. I don't know. We'll figure all that out. So 602-277-5827 is the phone number. Or again, if you just have a general technology question, we will do our best to answer that, or at least point you in a direction that you can acquire the information that you need to make that happen. So, Easter eggs. One of the ones that I think has been around for a while, most of you that have Windows, you've run across that 3D pinball game that's in the games section, right?
Who hasn't?
3D pinball, right? So the 3D pinball game allows you, or there's an Easter egg in there that allows you to basically take complete control of your pinball system with the mouse. So it's almost like a cheat, game cheat, right? Where you can use the mouse to control exactly where the pinball goes. So if you want to score the highest possible score on 3D pinball, then you learn about the Easter egg where you can convert the thing into where your mouse actually controls it. In other words, the ball never drops because it goes wherever you point the mouse. So obviously the programmer wanted to make sure that there was a way that if you wanted to cheat, especially if you know about this cheat and you're playing somebody, right, or especially if you're competing to see who can get the highest score, there you go. The ultimate score with that particular Easter egg. And again, that is the basis of the Easter egg process, or the whole Easter egg world. It has only to do with these goofy little sidelines, hidden programs. Sometimes there'll be like little movies hidden in the background. There'll be little special videos that they have, a little special shout out to mom, that kind of thing, right? Do those kinds of things. So again, Easter eggs, the iPad, which I'm gonna grab it now. We did some pretty interesting things. I think we have a world premiere on the iPad, don't we, Lewis?
I think so. When we were laser etching earlier,
we did laser etch the thing with the Data Doctors logo, and I actually took video of that, which will get uploaded to the Facebook page. But one of the companies that that Lewis is involved in is a company called Etch-A-Mac, and you can laser etch like anything, right?
Basically anything.
So I took the video of their actual laser etching machine. Brand new, right out of the plastic hadn't been pulled off yet, right? And they're lining this thing up, and they're burning the Data Doctors logo onto the back of that.
So the guy in the etching machine is going, I don't know, I haven't done this one before.
Yeah, because the angles and what have you were pretty important. So it's an interesting thing, and I know you've done things for all kinds of rock bands and whatever, right? This kind of thing. Anything that's got a hard surface, you can etch, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people out there to like to do the corporate gifting and promotional marketing for themselves and their companies, and or just one-offs if you just want to, you know, kind of graffiti your laptop or your iPad or your iPod.
But did we not? I think we're the first in the world to actually laser etch an iPad, right?
We've got it. Do we have a timestamp on that?
I do believe. What a great honor that is to be the first of the first, anyway. 602-277-5827. When we come back, we'll take some phone calls, talk Easter eggs, talk the iPad. It's the Data Doctors and Lewis from Mac Media back right after this. I tell you what, we're so distracted by the iPad. It's like, oh yeah, we have to do a radio show.
I'd say that's an understatement.
Anyway, it is the Computer Corner. We're here to talk technology with you, as we are every Saturday afternoon. We thank you for joining us. We know it's beautiful out there, especially here in the greater Southwest, but we're here for you. If you, in fact, are new to this concept of Easter eggs, feel free to join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, datadoctors.com. Somebody told me I always say it too fast, datadoctors.com.
Plural.
/radio. And you'll see all the links to all the different websites that are out there. Or you can call in like Dave, who has a question about Windows 7 Outlook.
Yes, sir. Outlook 2007. I'm running Windows 7 64-bit. Happy Easter, by the way. May it be a blessed one for you all.
And to you, sir, are you familiar with this Easter egg concept in computers and technology?
From years ago, they used to have them in movies.
Oh, well, they still do.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun to find them.
Yeah, so they're all over the place. So what's going on with your Outlook?
I got two problems with Outlook. Number one, when I go to open an email, the previous email opens up. No matter which one I open, I have to close Outlook and reopen it. And the second thing I've discovered just a couple of days ago is when I go to click on a URL that's embedded in an email, it gives me a general failure error saying it can't find it. I'm running Firefox as my default. I have IE8. All the updates are there. I've tried a variety of fixes they have online, like reinstalling Firefox, IE the default.
But those aren't bugs, silly. Those are features.
Oh, features? I'm sorry.
I'm still trying to
that.
I'm still trying to. You want this thing to work the way you want it to work every time?
I'd like to go back to Outlook Express. I mean, I was one of those that was dragged kicking and screaming away from XP. So,
well, let me throw a couple of. Well, let's first try to delve into what you have, and firstly determine, is Outlook really where you want to go with the future, or do we maybe want to look at something different since you're already having this issue? The opening the previous email, you're talking about the list of emails come up, and you're talking about the preview window, or are you talking about when you actually click on a new message, it still opens the previous one?
When I click on a new message.
It opens not the one that you're pointing at, but the one previous to that.
That's right.
You sure you're not drinking, are you?
Not this morning.
You're not missing with your mouse.
No.
You don't have one of those shakes or anything. The only thing I can think of is some kind of an alignment issue as to your computer thinks that the mouse is pointing at something different. You're not using anything special in a pointing technology, are you?
Nope. Just an ordinary old
touch
mouse.
Screens.
I've tried right-clicking the email and clicking open. That doesn't work. The only way it works is so I close Outlook, reopen Outlook, then it works for a while.
Oh, it's almost like it's not caching it up then. So there might be a problem with your PST file. You might have to...
I archived it through December, so I've only got 2-3 months worth of...
Yeah, no, but if you didn't actually change to a different PST file, then it's... If it's the actual PST file corruption.
Okay.
Here's a bigger... Let's take a 10,000-foot view of this, though.
Okay.
You were forced out of Outlook Express, and now you're using Outlook because you have it.
Right.
You don't really need what Outlook... You're not a corporate user. You're not going to an Exchange server. You're not using the calendar. You're not using all that stuff.
I use a calendar.
You do use a calendar. What else do you use?
Sync it up to my BlackBerry, and I use the contacts occasionally only because they're there, but I could easily have another contact manager program.
Well, have you ever considered going with a webmail option?
No.
Have you ever looked at Gmail?
I have looked at Gmail.
See, the thing about Gmail is a lot of these issues of the software itself go away when you go to a web-based. Now, prior to Gmail, it was Hotmail and Yahoo Mail, some of these others. Not quite powerful enough for guys like me that really need to be able to do some advanced things. But Gmail absolutely works very well in a corporate environment, in a personal environment, has the calendaring. The cool thing is, once you set it up, it doesn't matter what computer you're on, it works the exact same way. You've eliminated the backup issue, right, because all of it exists on the Gmail server.
Okay.
So the only downside is obviously you have to have an internet connection.
Right, which
so,
I do.
Yeah, so if you are often in a situation where you don't have an internet connection, i.e. somebody that has dial-up or something like that, then Gmail's probably not a good solution. But you eliminate a lot of issues by going to something like that. And since you're kind of you're making that transition now to something you're not totally in love with, I'd highly recommend, you know, Gmail's free. It doesn't take much to set up an account and start to you can import all your contacts. You can sync your calendar with your BlackBerry, do all those things that you're talking about.
Can Gmail stay open all the time like Outlook does and tell me when there's an email?
Yeah, you can set the thing up to do, I mean, all kinds of alerts. Okay. In fact, you can probably find some pretty sophisticated ways to alert you in other ways that you know, you may not be thinking about, maybe, you know, through your BlackBerry or what have you.
Two other places I looked was other email programs like Thunderbird and The Bat.
See, but you're going to an application that you're installing on your local computer.
Right.
So so all those issues with software and that kind of stuff and configuration and corruption of files and what have you remains. The minute you get into a webmail doing it in the cloud, you've eliminated about 4 or 5 of the very common things that cause problems for a lot of email programs. So, all right, hang tight here. I'm going to put you on hold.
Hey.
If I do this right. I think I did it right. I didn't do it right. I think I hung up on him. Someday I'm going to actually
still
figure
figuring
out
this
buttons.
Out, right?
It's the computer quarter. The data doctors are in the house. Couple lines open, 602-277-5827. Join us online at datadoctors.com/radio to see all about Easter eggs and where these little hidden gems are, all about your programs, your software, your DVDs, your music, your books. They're everywhere. It's Easter time. It's Easter egg time here on the Computer Corner. 602-277-5827. Back after the news. Happy Easter, everyone. It is the Computer Corner. The data doctors are in the house, along with our buddy from Mac Media, Lewis. who helped us by allowing us to acquire our very own iPad so we could play with it here in the studio and, well, just in life in general.
Well, yeah, they're free tomorrow.
What? Really? You're just.
I think I'll be over there.
You just happen to not be open tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
Hey, quick tip there. There's something in our newsletter that I want everyone to think about adding or think about converting to Firefox once again as your browser. This issue of malicious websites that are hosted in foreign countries that pose as websites here in the United States. That's a very common scenario where they're going to put up a fake website that looks like a bank or what have you, or even something you've never heard of that sounds interesting, or maybe even it's a content site that's got news stories or what have you, right? The fact that a lot of malicious activity occurs in foreign countries and a handful of countries, China, a lot of the Pacific Rim countries, some of the Eastern Bloc, Russia, there's a lot of that kind of activity going on in those countries. Wouldn't it be nice if you had some way, whenever you went to a website, to know immediately, where is this website being hosted? Yes? Yes. If you use Firefox, there's an add-on, and it's our head whack of the week. It's in our newsletter this week. There's an add-on called World IP, and it's just a simple little thing that you add into Firefox. It's absolutely free. And then from that point forward, just at the bottom right corner of the browser window, in the little border section, whenever you go to a website, it'll actually show you, like if it's a U.S.-based website, it'll show you the American flag, and it'll give you some technical information. But you can just look right at the flag and look no further and go, okay, that's being hosted in the United States. Does that mean it's absolutely safe? No. But if you are you're curious about a website, but you're also suspicious, this is a great way to quickly ascertain, do I want to go any further? Do I want to click on any more links? Do I trust this website? I don't think this website should be hosted in Russia. I'm going to close the browser.
What do you got against Russia there?
Well, I don't have anything against them other than some of the bad stuff that's going on out there. You know, I mean, you look at all the statistics out there. I think China's number one, and I think Russia is
probably a close second. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got to put our own website together and attack other countries.
Don't need to. Our government's here to help you. Wait a minute. They don't listen to this show, do they? I love you, government. Easter eggs. From the Mac perspective, Mr. Lewis.
From the Mac perspective.
Any particular Easter eggs of favor for you?
Do they call them eye eggs?
Eye eggs?
No eye eggs.
No?
Just eggs.
They're just called eggs.
Eggs.
IGGs.
There's one where you actually, when you go into the applications folder, and if you look at TextEdit, which is an application, and you just click on it once and do what's called a quick look, it'll actually show you the text for the crazy ones, which was their Think Different campaign that they did years back, and that's all written in the icon itself.
In the icon itself, so that's one of the Easter eggs. Do we have that link on our website?
I don't think we do at the moment.
Well, let's find that. We'll add that to the website. By the way, smartphones have Easter eggs. Software has Easter eggs. Previous caller talked about, you know, all kinds of Easter eggs in movies. And there's websites that'll tell you what to watch for in those movies. So throughout the show, we'll try to add some of those resources there. Again, if you've got a question, 602-277-5827, like Bruce. Bruce,
yeah.
Welcome to the show. Have you ever played around with Easter eggs on your computer?
No, I haven't gotten an Easter egg since the old operating systems from like 95, 98.
Back in the day, huh?
Oh, back in the day. You got it.
They're still here, though. All right, well, you can check out the resources later. But you're having a problem, though, with startup on a E machine, right?
Yeah, an old E machine.
You know why they call it an E machine?
No.
They go, E! machine.
Yeah.
So tell me exactly what's happening.
Well, what happens is my daughter called me and said, when I bring it up, it comes up to my desktop, which is our dog, and that's it. No icons appear. So I went over to her house and I said, you know, she's a kid though. She's 25. And what happens is that's exactly what happened. So I backed into it. I hit F8 thinking that the safe mode.
Right.
You know, maybe I can get a safe mode, but
right.
I can't get into the safe mode.
That's not a good sign.
And then number two is I tried doing that restore, but Like you mentioned, that doesn't do any good.
Yeah,
either.
You mean the built-in Windows Go back?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, when you get to this level of corruption, all those simple tools to kind of bring you back to life are generally ineffective. Let me make sure I understand. It goes to the desktop.
Picture, just to the picture.
But
the desktop.
there's no start button. There's no nothing.
Correct.
Okay. If you do a Control-Alt-Delete right there, does anything happen, or have you tried that?
Yeah, I can do Control-Alt-Delete. I can do CMD and get the DOS. So I'm thinking it's not that bad. But
actually, no, it is. It is.
Oh, okay.
Well, here's the bottom line. Again, this is how, Bruce, you're going to help others learn from your pain. When we talk about safe mode on this show, safe mode is a diagnostic mode. The fact that you can't even get into safe mode, that immediately tells you, okay, I'm into brain surgery territory. If I want to get into this machine and save whatever's in there or resurrect this thing so I don't have to reinstall all my programs and all my settings and the network and all that stuff, it's going to require somebody that knows how to work with the registry and work with a corrupted operating system. This is not something that you're going to be able to go to a website and go, oh, there's the solution, because it could be one of about 10,000 different things that's causing the corruption. It could be the solution for fixing it could be one of hundreds, depending upon the exact version of your operating system, what tools you have to work with. So, like, if you have a really old version of Windows to use as a repair tool, doesn't have a lot of the newer service packs and that kind of thing, you know, that's gonna change exactly what the process is for getting you back up and running. So the decision you have to make at this point is, the fact that you're calling this radio show tells me that you obviously don't have the technical tools to really unwind something at this level, because this is not even intermediate, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
this is advanced stuff, right? So your decision is, do I want to resurrect what's there, or is there nothing on there that matters to me and I can just wipe it out and start over again?
Well, it's my daughter's MP3s and her pictures. And since I can get the DOS, you don't think I could?
No. Now, here's what you can do, since you sound like you know enough to be dangerous.
Oh, that's correct.
Are you comfortable pulling the hard drive out of her computer?
Yes.
So if you can pull the hard drive out of her computer, put it into an external USB enclosure.
Okay.
Okay. You say, how old is this machine?
E-machine.
It's like four.
It came with XP, SP2.
Probably a PETA drive, yeah.
So what's that?
A parallel ATA drive.
Okay, so the thing you're going to have to know is what kind of interface the hard drive has before you buy the enclosure.
Oh, okay.
Because the enclosure itself is going to be configured for specific types of hard drives.
And a lot of the enclosures.
Whether it's ISA or whatever, yeah.
Right, SATA, IDE, there's so many different things. So you're probably going to want to, again, step one, shut it down. Make sure you're in a static-free environment and pull that hard drive out and take a look at the interface. Step two, put the hard drive down before you go to the store.
Okay.
Now, that's predicated on you feeling comfortable that you know what that interface is. If you don't, put it in an anti-static bag or something to protect it and lots of cushioning around it. Take it with you to the store and say, I need an enclosure that this drive will work on.
Yeah, because a lot of the enclosures today are primarily SATA, which is the new interface for hard drives. This most likely is an older drive, yeah. But still readily available at many locations that sell that kind of stuff.
All you're trying to do is get this hard drive connected up as a secondary hard drive on a working computer and then try to access it as an external hard drive.
Oh, okay. So that would be a slave to the master?
Well, No. You're thinking in terms of putting it inside the computer. By getting an enclosure, you just plug it into a USB port and it becomes an external hard drive.
Oh, I see what you mean.
There's no master slave. You don't have to take your own computer apart.
And if you have a laptop or, you know, computer or, you know, some other system to hook it up to.
Because here's the deal. If you can plug it in and all the files, the raw files are accessible, then you sound like you know what you're doing. You can go seek out where all the MP3 files are and copy them to your computer, right?
Yeah, okay.
Because the problem here in just saying, oh, forget, I don't care, whatever, I'm going to wipe it out, is obviously there's always stuff that you cared about. But more importantly, the cause of this to begin with could be that you have a faulty hard drive. And so if you go through this whole process of getting everything back up and running on a faulty hard drive, what do you think is going to happen next week?
Yep.
Right?
So after you
get your data recovered, you know, the stuff that you care about, and you know for sure it's all good, you're then going to want to make a decision. Do I want to take a chance with this hard drive? Do I want to test this hard drive, or do I want to get a new hard drive to put in there if I'm going to start over again?
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so there's so many forks in the road depending upon which path you take. which is why this is kind of a brain surgery process. It's not a simple thing because there's 82 steps to completion here. We've only gone through the first five.
Maybe 81.
It is complicated, and most people don't think it all the way through before they start, and then they jam themselves into a corner. And
yeah, I'm from the old school. So, in fact, that one time I met you with a mutual client.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Years ago?
10 years ago, maybe. 10 years ago.
Wow. Cool. Well, does that help you, Bruce?
Yes, that helped me a lot. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
The big thing is you can at least be a hero to your daughter and get her MP3 files, right?
Yeah, okay.
You're exactly right.
Hey,
keep
listen, I got a 20-year-old. I know exactly where you're at. My daughter is she calls herself the data daughter, right?
that's new. I haven't heard that one before.
Do you think that she's going to go through life with never having a hard drive crash? It's already happened. She's going to school in New York. I've already had to jump in and try to help out because one of her external hard drives, let's just say, went away. All right. Good luck, Bruce. And report back to us and let us know how it worked out.
Okay. Will do. Thank you very much for your help.
You betcha.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's going to free up a phone line, 602-277-5827. We're talking about Easter eggs today. We don't want to spend the whole day talking about Easter eggs. In fact, when we come back, we want to talk about the iPad. And why it's so cool. It's the Computer Corner back after this. And welcome back to another fantabulous weekend here in the Great Southwest. Appreciate you joining us this week. It's, of course, the Easter weekend, so we always bring out the computer Easter eggs as part of a exposure of the theme. But, of course, you can call in 602-277-5827 with your own either Easter egg or questions or what have you. Before we went to break, we were talking about the iPad out today. Comes in how many flavors, Lewis?
Currently three flavors.
And what are those flavors?
16, 32, and 64.
So what do those numbers mean?
Gigabyte.
So the storage.
Storage space.
So the only difference in the three models today is how much you can put on it.
Yeah, and then about a month, you're going to have another model with 3G capabilities.
So right now, if you want to be able to access the internet with the iPads that are being sold today, you must connect through Wi-Fi.
Correct.
So you don't have a Wi-Fi connection. You've got no tiki no washi.
You got it.
Okay. So the 3G thing that's coming out, that would be an AT&T exclusive again, right? And my understanding is it's unlike the iPhone, where you have to sign a big, long contract.
Yeah, they've got a couple flavors of service, and one of those being pay month to month and turn it on and off at your own leisure.
So if you know you're going on a trip, you can buy a month's worth.
Correct. Yeah.
And when you're done. And the other thing I heard that was cool is that you can start the service and say, I want to cancel it in a month, and so you don't have to remember to cancel it. You can actually say, I want to cancel it at the end of this month, and that's all part of the sign-up.
And it's all done through the iPad itself.
Nice.
So it's all...
So you can turn it on and off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but that would give people access to the internet through the 3G, the cellular system, so you don't have to be near a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yes. Basically anywhere you can get service with your phone, you can get service with your iPad.
Now, the knock on the current version is that, you know, it's an Apple device, so it doesn't do flash video.
Correct.
Right? So that means sites like Hulu and the actual Netflix online, you can do it through the Netflix application, but not on the Netflix website, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what their
what the
beef is with Flash technology. But
my understanding is Jobs is against having Flash on there publicly. I don't know privately what he's going to say, but publicly, I understood it to be that he's not a fan of the code itself, and that it would slow down the device, and at least that's the excuse.
Yeah, he says it lacks stability.
Yeah, it's unstable, it's unsecure, and it's big and fat.
Right.
What we've heard. Now, another big thing that everybody's up in arms about is why does this thing not have a camera?
You know, I couldn't give you any information on that. One thing that I did hear is that you are going to be able to adapt a camera to the 30-pin connector at the bottom and be able to use cameras with it.
I have a very specific hypothesis when it comes to a lot of this stuff that's not on there yet. Think about if the first thing out of the gate created a device that was super compelling that you could use for Skype and all this other stuff, How much more data traffic would there be on the AT&T network?
Yeah, I think it could cripple it potentially.
Right? The fact that this didn't come out with 3G tells me right there they don't want to launch this thing and cause disruption on the already fragile AT&T data network.
Can you imagine what AT&T is doing right now to try to secure
sweating?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're not real happy with the fact that Jobs said, no, we're going to do it this way this time. You know, that no long contracts, and, you know, that had to be Steve Jobs saying we're going to do it this way.
Well, I think AT&T was one of the few companies that was willing to actually go with that. And I think there were some other providers out there that probably got some offers and said, you know, 2-year contract, yeah, but month to month, no.
Not so much. All right. So what I've been telling everybody that I'm talking to, media and otherwise, and in my column, I view the iPad as a consuming device. It's a consumer of content. It's great at entertainment and consuming, you know, video, data, that kind of thing. Certainly without a camera and some of the other things, it's not real good at creating content.
Yeah, I mean, it does have its limitations, but there are some applications already out there, like Apple's iWork applications, and I was playing with those last night, and they work great on there. And you can create content, you know, through Pages, Keynote, and applications like that. So if you're on the go, it's something that you can do, you know, quickly while you're traveling somewhere. But I don't think it has the same functionality as maybe a full-blown PC or Mac computer.
Right. In a pinch, you can absolutely get by, but I've already played with the word processor and some of these other things, and they're cool. And if you need to tap out a page or two of content, great. You're not going to write your life story on this thing. You know, you can get the external keyboard and a bunch of other stuff that they're coming out with. But at that point, I mean, like, who are you fooling?
Right. Yeah. I think if you're blogging, you know, you're out on the road, you're blogging, you got some content, you put it in the iPhoto library, and then you go into iWork and type away.
It's possible. Again, there are going to be specific uses for this thing, but I've had multiple, usually college students, say, I'm so anxious for the iPad because I want to get rid of my laptop and just carry the iPad around for school. And I'm like, I'm not sure that that's quite going to work too well because it's not the same.
Some of these college kids can text message pretty quick, so I can imagine how fast they'll be able to type on that.
But this is still a little different than that. So, I mean, we'll see. And I think we'll see better and better productivity use, just like with the iPhone. In the beginning, it wasn't all that great for productivity and corporate use.
Yeah.
It got better.
It's all about the applications.
So keep in mind, iPad, good for consuming entertainment. Laptops and notebooks, good for creating content. That's really the strength. Doesn't mean that they both can't do the other thing's strength. It's just that that's what the strengths are. So,
and it's a great conversation piece.
You will be the coolest kid on the block, right, Taylor?
Absolutely.
Or at least on the plane for me next week. I might get some free drinks. Hour number two of the Computer Corner coming up. We're talking Easter eggs, iPads, and whatever else you want to talk about.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're talking about Easter eggs. We're talking about the new Apple iPad. And we're talking about whatever it is that you want to talk about for the next hour or so. 602-277-5827. As I say that, I look and see the phone lines are filled, so don't bother trying to call at the moment. As soon as we hang up on somebody, we'll hang up with somebody or on somebody. I suppose that could happen. In studio with us is Clay from our Data Recovery Labs.
Glad to be here.
Data Recovery / Forensics. Taylor.
What's going on?
Colburn, data doctor in training. Musician extraordinaire,
well, thank you.
Kind of a goofy actor.
A little bit.
Lewis from Mac Media?
Yes.
You are here to represent the Mac militants?
Mac militants. The iPad enthusiasts.
Of which I am absolutely one today. Because I'm here playing with it. Now, I just found something that I'm not particularly pleased about, but we'll talk about that. We found a limitation already in the iPad. Minor, maybe, maybe not. We're going to find out.
We'll find out.
Before we go on, however, I think it's time to edumacate the masses on a word. What do you think?
I think we can do that.
It's the Geek Speak of the Week segment. Try to bring you an 80s-ridden music bed of
this
words.
Music does pump me up a lot more than
the
previous stuff, right? Well, this week's Geek Speak of the Week is Gravesite.
Gravesite.
Now, you know, we living in Arizona are familiar with the Wild West and, you know, the
yes.
ghost towns.
Tombstone.
Exactly, yeah. Tombstone. I was going to bring that up. Well, you know, in the web, or I should say in web lingo, you know, gravesite is something that has been, or a website rather, that's been abandoned by its creators.
So somebody created a website 5 years ago.
5 years ago or two nothing, years ago or whatever it might be.
Nothing's been updated for
the
4 or 5 years.
The content hasn't changed. You know, you have the copyright 1999 at the bottom or whatever it might be. The counter is stagnant and all the content.
So when you hear somebody referring to a gravesite on the web, now you know what it is. It's basically a website that has died. There's no fresh content.
But for some reason, that URL still exists, and they haven't. They're still paying for it.
As opposed to link rot, which a grave site will often be full of link rot.
Yeah.
You know what link rot is?
Sure. Unable to go anywhere when you click on it.
Oh yeah, it's an invalid link. It's gone rotten.
There's probably lot of invalid links on these grave sites.
Yeah, grave sites are probably full of link rot. Bada bing, bada boom. Look how cool you sound saying that. The only thing that would make it cooler is if you had an iPad, which we've continued to play around with. I was efforting to upload the video I took at your facility this morning, at your Etch-A-Mac facility there.
Etch-A-Mac facility, yeah.
I believe we broke the record. I mean, we broke the seal on etching the first iPad in the world, right?
Customizing, sure.
Something like that. It sounds cool, doesn't it?
Another first.
Anyway, I'm trying to upload the video through our fan page, the Facebook fan page, and I figured, let me do it from the iPad. And I get everything going, I get logged in, and I'm trying to upload the video. And when you click on the part where you say choose the video, the box is grayed out.
A little
button that allows you to go and like browse your computer to find the video to upload.
And how frustrating was that?
It says, no, you're not going to do it. So apparently, because it's using Safari, I don't know if Safari doesn't allow it to work on a PC, but for some reason, it's not working on here. So there's your first challenge of the day.
So I went to Mozilla's website.
And
there's a bunch of people who already posted information about this.
About being upset about that can't happen?
Well, a lot of them wanted to remotely access their PC. And you can't do that through Safari, according to some of these folks.
Remotely access a Mac or a Windows machine?
Windows machine.
Through what?
Through the Safari web browser.
You mean like through Log Me In or something?
It must be.
I'm going to test that next. Hey, but you know what? We were talking about etching. Gene, the dancing machine's on and has a question about laser etching, I think. Gene?
Yeah, I'm a Lions Club member, and I build puzzles, and I need to have somebody that does a good job of etching to etch into these cedar blocks that I have. Is that something that's possible?
Sure, yeah. You can laser etch into wood. Absolutely.
Yeah, because this is Canadian heartwood cedar that I make for kids in Children's Hospital for puzzles for them.
Yeah, I think for that, someone would typically use what's called a CO2 laser.
CO2 laser.
Yeah, okay. Those are a lot more affordable than the stuff that we use to laser etch the back of the iPad.
yeah.
But you can find those through various different companies. If you do a search for CO2 lasers in Arizona, I'm sure you can find something on Google.
Okay, CO2 lasers on Google.
You're listening to the Laser Etch Corner.
Thank you very much.
Hey, no
Appreciate
problem.
It.
Hey, good luck.
We'll see, because you were saying, you know, it's no longer the computer corner. It's
Now it's the laser etch corner. Now talk about that, because this is sensitive stuff. I mean, you know, these are computers. You got some laser burning stuff on it. How's that work?
It really takes a thin layer of the anodized aluminum off the iPad.
That's
so
big words there.
It's so thin that if you run your hand over it, I don't think you can feel it. Can you, Ken?
I cannot.
So yeah, it won't harm the electronics inside the device.
Do we have a picture of that yet?
Actually, I threw some video up there and did get a brief look at the laser etching on the back.
We'll get a close-up of that, see what else is going on. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's see who's first here. I believe it's Will. Oh, wait, yes. Wait a minute, Will. Okay, Will, we're going to let you tease this because I didn't look at the time here. We're coming up on a break, but tell us what your problem is. When we come back, we're going to see if we can solve it.
When I pull up my desktop on the Windows Vista operating system, I have my whole start bar and everything on the bottom. I can pull up my desktop, but none of my desktop icons show.
That sounds like the same call we got about 15 minutes ago. Is the start button working?
Yes, the start button works fine. Everything on the bottom works fine. I can click on the little desktop where it says desktop in the bottom right.
Yes.
And it'll pull up everything that's supposed to be on the actual desktop, but none of my icons are there.
Oh, so like maybe all the icons moved. All right, hang tight. We're going to put you on hold. I have a hypothesis for that situation as well. You're listening to the Computer Corner, where we cannot upload our videos through the brand new iPad to our Facebook fan page. So if you're calling about that, you don't need to hold any longer. We've already figured out it's not going to work. And then we're going to go after remote. We're going to figure out what else this can and cannot do. It's the Computer Corner, back right after this. Hey, if you're a Whole Foods fan, specifically a Whole Foods Facebook fan, you should probably read this week's newsletter because there's a handful of scam websites pretending to be Whole Foods fan page with what they purport to be $500 gift cards or something or other. And obviously Whole Foods is fighting this, but...
It doesn't sound like a good Easter egg there.
Yeah, the latest and greatest, and since there's 400 million people on Facebook, let's see if we can start taking advantage of some of those folks. If you are not a newsletter subscriber, shame on you. And if you are, thank you. You can certainly access the newsletter I'm talking about without ever having to subscribe. You can just go to our website, datadoctors.com/help, which takes you to the free help section. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a place where you can either sign up for or look at the archives of the newsletter. And so you can take a look at what we have posted up there for this week's newsletter. We do have also on our radio show page the links to all the different Easter egg sites that kind of give you the step-by-step instructions on how to find these little hidden programs. Those of you that like Skype, Skype is becoming more and more of a normal productivity tool for me, in fact. I'm doing conference calls on Skype all the time now.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm using it on my iPhone and laptop.
It isn't because I'm trying to skate long distance and whatever. You know why I'm using it? It's a better speakerphone than the phone systems that we have.
Yeah, you know what? I noticed that too.
It's a much better way. So, and then you know, what's nice is you can have multiple people on a call in Skype as well. And, you know, if you dress nicely, you can use video. Anyway, there are hidden emoticons, right? The little emoticons that you can put in there to try to represent some emotion that you're having, some feel. You're just trying to transmit.
Which I think
through.
Kind of also get overused. Sometimes.
They do, but there's a bunch of hidden ones, including some that are a little naughty.
A little scandalous.
Mischievous. Not scandalous, just, well, let's just say borderline vulgar. Let's just say it has to do with certain digits of the hand.
Gotcha.
Anyway. Most of them are pretty cool little hidden icons. They got all the emoticons that you have that you can normally get at. You can get some of the hidden ones. It's one of the many links that we have on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Before we went to break, I was saying I was going to try the log me in remote. I've gotten as far as I can get to the machine. I haven't determined whether I can actually control it or not because it looks like it's having a tough time trying to get that video over. So,
or maybe it's all the Wi-Fi that we're uploading. Or I'm sorry, all the video we're uploading via the Wi-Fi.
I will continue to effort to try to get that done. All right, before we went to break, we were talking to Will, who has a very strange situation that has occurred. Your icons kind of aren't there, correct?
Correct.
But if you go to your start button and go through and navigate, you can navigate to the desktop, and in fact, they are there. Okay. And you're sure that you're navigating to the same desktop. Tell me how you're navigating to that desktop.
Well, first of all, like I can right click on the start button.
Uh-huh.
and go to Explore and go to my desktop through there. And then, like I said, on the bottom of the taskbar where it shows the actual little desktop, it says desktop, you can click on it. It pulls up a little menu that shows everything that's supposed to be on your desktop.
Okay. So it's a possibility that somehow your icons are way off your screen. Have you tried the auto-arrange option?
Yeah, I've tried the auto-arrange. I went into the menu or into the control panel and tried trying to see if something was turned off somewhere.
Well, no, there's no turning off. I mean, it's especially since you can see them in your desktop folder.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you tried the auto arrange. You right clicked on the desktop somewhere and went to arrange icons by.
Yes.
And you've tried it by name, by type, and all that just to see if things will come up.
Yeah.
One of the options on there should also be show desktop icons. You can actually turn them all off.
I've tried that too. That's what I meant by the whole seeing if something was turned off.
But you did that on the arrange icons by menu.
Uh huh. And then, like, if I have the Explore windows pulled up and say I try to drag something over to the window, over to the desktop, I mean, it'll let me drag something over and it'll show it on that little desktop menu that I actually dragged it over.
But it still doesn't show it on your desktop.
But it still doesn't show
Well, it sounds like the switch that tells it to show the icons, even though you're saying that it's on. I mean, have you tried turning it off and on back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like that's what's going on, that it's somewhere in your registry it's not doing that. Is this a multi-monitored setup by any chance?
Not at all.
Okay. Have you checked to make sure that your computer doesn't think that it has multiple monitors?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay. Well, you
going into the control panel where it...
Is this a Windows machine?
Yeah, it's
okay.
A Windows machine.
I know what the solution is. You should buy a Mac.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Right, Lewis?
Absolutely.
That would take care of the icon problem?
Definitely. Anyone that's listening, just throw it away and buy something new.
Yeah, that's the solution. In previous years, it was just reinstall it. Now it's just buy a Mac. Now, yeah, there is something. It's one of those things that if we were sitting there, we could probably work through and figure it out. Let me do this for you. Let me see if I can do a little more research for you. And I will post for Will on our Facebook page if I find a series of solutions that I think might help you.
Okay.
I'll post that on our Facebook page for you, okay?
All right, thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah, whoops. I'm not sure how. There I go again. It's the computer.
Good thing that wasn't the iPad.
No, it wasn't the iPad. It's hitting the phone again. We got another half an hour to go. It is the computer corner. We're talking about Easter eggs, the iPad, and whatever it is that you have on your mind. Ken Colburn, Clayton Moline, Taylor Colburn, and Lewis from Mac Media to talk about Macs here for you. 602-277-5827 or datadoctors.com/radio, where you can get to all of the stuff, the Facebook page, so on and so forth, and see all of the Easter eggs. It is Easter after all. Check out all the Easter eggs on the website. Stay tuned for more. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Almost lost the open there.
I was
trying to help somebody that was stuck on this. But it's all brand new stuff, as if that has anything to do with anything. Folks, electronics are very commonly bad out of the box. Yeah? How many Macs in your lifetime have you run across had a problem right out of the box?
Well, electronics have a mind of their own sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all the time, but it happens.
No, but when you're looking at things with power supplies, hard drives,
motherboards,
yeah,
capacitors,
DVD players, things like that. Blown capacitors, we see those often where you're trying to install an operating system and it fails 98% of the way through. And you can do it multiple times and the same thing keeps happening. And then you realize, oh, one of these caps are bad.
And you spend all that time. And if you had just taken the time to go look and do a visual inspection of the components and look for those of you that are into the insides of your computer or like to put your own computers together. This is advice from Uncle Ken, who's been building computers and actually stopped building them himself years ago because he was tired of...
Uncle Ken?
Uncle Ken.
Yeah, since we were infants.
These components that you buy and put these computers together, it's entirely possible, and this happened to us all the time when you do large-scale manufacturing, which we've done in the past, lots and lots of custom-built computers where we built them all ourselves. A percentage of those motherboards came in and had a problem. Some of them were, if you looked real close, you could see that there were blown capacitors, and some of them there was no explanation. We've had situations where we could not figure out why the system wouldn't run. We tested every component. We swapped out every component. Still would not. We changed the case and kept all the components, and everything was fine. So there was a ground plane issue. There was, I mean, there's the most obscure things that'll happen. So if you're out there and you want to build your own computer, understand that this is part of the byproduct of building your own computer is the brain damage.
And the cheaper the components.
Well, I mean, but, you know, how do you even know when you're buying them from these different vendors and what's cheap and you paid a lot of money for it? And
yeah. Or you buy it off.
Cheap is relative, right?
Or you go off of eBay or Craigslist or one of those places. And
But the point I want to make is the Mac world, PC world, Windows world, doesn't matter. Blown capacitors or bulging capacitors are a major and consistent problem with computers. And that means a capacitor, which generally look like little barrels on your main board or on any of the boards. They should be flat on the top. Okay, a blown capacitor is very easy to identify because it's blown. I mean, you can actually see a hole in the thing, or you can see some of the chemical is leaked out of the capacitor or what have you, right?
Yeah, it's typically bulging.
I can tell you some of the stuff we've seen come in, you know, in our store locations, you know, up to 7-8 blown capacitors. Sometimes
right,
the computer is even working.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the scary part because, you know, the decrease in performance and everything that goes along with that.
Those of you that are having those quirky, nobody can explain, you can't find anything on the internet problems, I assure you that you want to take the time to unplug your machine, take the case off, and do a very thorough inspection of every single little looking capacitor, every barrel looking device that you have on that board, and make absolutely sure that they're not bulging or blown.
Well, and Ken, you're from the audio world, so I mean,
in audio, it's different because when you get a blown capacitor in audio, you hear it, right? You hear vibration, you hear, you know, distortion, you hear that kind of thing. With computers, you can literally boot the machine up, you don't get a blue screen, but then you just get these crazy things happening that nobody can explain. And if you've spent, like the gentleman I was talking to, he spent 4 hours on the phone with one company, 2 hours on the phone with another company, nobody can figure this thing out. And I thanked him for thinking that we were that smart, that these, you know, people that spent hours couldn't figure it out, we're going to figure it out over the phone without seeing the machine in 30 seconds or whatever. But the bottom line is the symptoms that he described very much look like a system that was built on a faulty component and then exhibits these really quirky behaviors that nobody can explain because the operating system never really got installed properly because of the defective component. So if that helps you. And if this all makes your head hurt, this is why you should find your local computer guy and hug him because this is what he deals with on your behalf behind the scenes. It's all that brain damage.
Yeah, don't get mad at your technician. Your technician's only trying to help.
No, you can get mad at him. That's normal, right?
Just not
take
me.
Frustration out on the next.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Next
isn't it, right?
That's fine.
Don't yell at Clay. Don't yell at Lewis. You know.
Yeah. Back to the phones here. See if we can help Herb. Herb, is it?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. I appreciate your show. I wonder if you'd help me. I'm visually impaired.
Uh-huh.
I saw a demonstration of the Macintosh reading, and it was incredible. And they tell me Windows 7 has a program built into it, but no one can demonstrate it to me. Do you know anything about it? And do you know if it compares to the Mac system?
Now, you're talking about along
narrator.
Yeah, along the lines of the screen reader, some type of screen reader that can
right.
look at. Okay.
You just highlight it, and it reads it in one of four voices.
Okay, so it's not like JAWS something for
no.
Okay, you're talking about just something where you have enough vision that you can
exactly.
Gotcha. I can't say I'm particularly up to speed on that. I do know there are accessibility options in Windows 7, and I'd be more than happy to do a little research for you and try to post some links on our Facebook fan page.
I appreciate it because Microsoft can't answer tells me they have it. The Microsoft Store can't demonstrate it.
Oh, well, that's interesting, isn't it? The Microsoft Store can't demonstrate the Microsoft
No,
product.
I've been over there twice.
The one up at in Scottsdale?
Well, it doesn't matter
which
one
it
was. No, I just think it's, you know, it's of all the places.
You would think that would be the place to go.
Herb made the right choice, exactly. You would assume, right?
I went there, and then I called Microsoft.
And let me guess, they told you.
On the internet, they tell me Narrator will do the same thing.
Okay, but let me ask, when you called Microsoft, did they say go to the Microsoft Store?
No. I told him I was referred.
Just kidding.
From the store.
Yeah, you know what? Let me again, this is a little out of my wheelhouse, but I do know about the accessibility options, and I will be more than happy to look into it and see if I can't post something up on our Facebook page. Would that work for you? Are you able to access that?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if you'll do that, I'll be more than happy to do that and see if I can get some answers for you.
Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Herb.
On the Apple side, it's universal access.
What's that?
Universal access in the system preferences, and you just go to close view.
That's the name of the application?
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I'm sitting in front of a machine.
I can't imagine it'd be too complicated on the Windows 7 side.
No, there's all the accessibility options. I just don't want to do this right now on the air because it's specific to Herb and that's why we'll do it this way.
True.
Again, if you are new to the whole concept of Easter eggs, and if you're into gaming, my goodness, you are surrounded by programs that have Easter eggs. And they're nothing more than these cutesy little hidden features or secret entrances to, you know, higher levels. And it's kind of borderline on the cheat side, right, Taylor? Cheat codes and that kind of. But it's not really a cheat code because you're not manipulating it that way. You're just accessing something in a game that isn't obvious. You have to know about the little secret thing. And the programmers do that on purpose because it's like an inside joke or whatever.
Right. And I guarantee there's quite a bit more than just Easter eggs when it comes to inside jokes.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. So one of the links that we have is to the GameSpot website, and they have a section called The Greatest Easter Eggs in Gaming. And they list out all kinds of games and gaming consoles and gaming platforms, programs themselves that have the... And they show you the actual Easter eggs that are in there, along with a couple of Easter eggs that kind of probably backfired on the person that was intending to get it going there. By the way, one of the other links in our newsletter is the increase in the apps for curbing texting while driving. So there's there's a whole slew of companies coming up with new products and services to try to curtail or kind of prevent that. So if you're one of those in that situation, it's one of the reasons I linked to that story. It talks about kind of the pros and cons, what it can do, what it can't do, but it makes you aware of a lot of the companies that are out there creating these utilities and these processes. So check that out.
I might have to make that illegal here across the state.
Well,
I have to use that for myself.
You know, speeding is illegal, right?
Right.
So just making it illegal, especially for parents, that's not going to be enough. You know, Johnny, don't text while you're driving. Okay, Mom. That ended like in the 50s or something, didn't it?
What, speeding?
No. Listening to Mom. No, Taylor? You want to speak up for your generation?
No comment.
No comment. Wow. An attorney in training. All right, back to the phones here. Let's see we can sneak in Brian, I think it is. No.
That would be me.
Brian. It is you, Brian.
Thanks for taking my call. I have kind of an unusual situation. I haven't been able to find anything like this on the internet.
You know that every single call today has been one, so why would you be any different? Why not, you know, you can't throw us a little softball we can just, you know, just knock out of the park. No, you got to give us another tough one.
Well, admittedly, my icons do come up when I boot up, but I
yes!
have something else too. Okay, I'm running a desktop. It's got XP Service Pack 3. And when I boot up, I get a message from the security center saying that both my firewall and my virus protection are off. If I don't do anything, a couple minutes later, the message goes away. Everything is working fine.
Ah,
now
I think. Hang on. Which antivirus and security software are you running?
I'm currently running Windows Firewall and Webroot.
Okay.
But I know exactly when this occurred. It occurred right after I installed the software from my HP 3-in-1 printer.
Yes. Let me tell you what's likely happening.
Okay.
Okay. The Webroot software, in order for it to start its protection, has to get everything set up in Windows. The Windows security system is checking status before the Webroot software is fully engaged. Your HP software, because you installed that afterwards, snuck its way in front of Webroot in the line of programs that are loading at startup, delaying Webroot's completion further. Webroot had a real problem in the early days, or not early days, about a year ago, where this was happening all the time regardless. And it was because their little sign to Windows that, hey, I'm protecting the system, didn't come fast enough, so the security center would give you that alert. The bottom line is, if after a minute or two it all goes away and it says you're cool, then it's not really that big of an issue. It's just a nuisance.
But am I?
You are protected after it loads. You're getting the you're not protected before it finishes loading, before the WebRoot software is allowed to finish loading. That's why you're getting that.
Okay. So, but am I at risk at least for those first couple of minutes in reality? Or?
Is it that long, or is it?
That's about 2 minutes.
Yes. technically, yes, you are.
Okay.
Literally, now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We're coming up on a break. I'm going to put you on hold because I want to make sure you understand what your options are, because there are several options on this. But the fact that it's going away and saying, okay, everything's cool, that's a good sign. You're listening to the Computer Corner. When we come back, we're going to finish up with Brian on that. If you have that same problem, stay tuned and learn what you can do yourself. Contrary to what somebody posted on our Facebook page about not hearing that the data doctors had ever said buy a Mac, we've been saying that to people for years. Especially the people we don't want to deal with anymore.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? The whole operating system issue with things like the iPhone, the iPad, HP's got their tablet PC. They got all these different things going on.
Has HP shipped that?
Kind of. In the limited quantities.
Right.
And it runs Windows.
Doesn't that drive demand?
No. But the bottom line is, if you kind of fast forward here, I think the whole operating system issue is going to kind of become, it's going to kind of go into the background. We're not going to know in the next 3 to 4 years whether we're on a computer, a cable box, a television, a handset. What is this thing called now? I mean, is an iPad a computer? Technically, sure, it computes. Are people going to look at it like a computer? I mean, they look at an iPhone like a computer? You know, I mean, it's like, it is. So those labels in the operating systems. So, and I think that's a good thing. I think this whole focusing on operating systems that's been going on, and that was, you know, part marketing and part whatever. Doesn't matter to me. I love the toys. Before we went to break, we were talking to Brian about his system giving him a warning saying he wasn't protected, and then a few minutes later it would say, okay, everything's cool. Is that right, Brian?
Yes, that's correct.
And because you're using WebRoot software, we're very familiar with that. That's what we install on our customers' computers. Very good program. But what's happening is it has to go through all of its machinations to get into the position where it can protect you. The roll call that Windows is doing when it boots up is occurring before WebRoot completes its installation setup. And you didn't have this problem until you installed an HP, like an all-in-one, do everything, slices, dices, serves drinks.
Yes, sir.
All those. So when you installed that printer, were you the typical installer that says, next, I agree, and just let it do what it did?
Actually, I installed it and uninstalled several times to try and minimize the amount of processes I had.
And did that work?
It still get the error message each time, but I didn't install the everything.
Okay.
I tried to minimize as much, because they even include a thing that will take you to their website to buy paper.
Of course.
I certainly don't need that.
Well, sure you do. We're Hewlett Packard. We want to make sure you have paper.
So important.
That we make money on. Give us our cut.
Absolutely.
And that is the problem, is that it slows your computer down at startup, it slows it down all around, and it's just unnecessary stuff that's out there. So the tip for anyone out there is start paying attention during any installation of any program, and when you are given the option to choose the recommended or a custom where you get to decide, choose custom so that you can see the stuff they're going to try to sneak in on you.
And it's amazing how much stuff they do try to sneak in.
But the bottom line is, it sounds like HP software has decided, I'm going to go in before the WebRoot software. I'm going to load.
Exactly. You know?
And part of that could simply be that H comes before W. You know, you think in terms of the alphabetical load. Now, that's not necessarily how Windows decides what to load when, but that is a factor that comes into play at some point. So do you need all of the things that are in there, or do you, have you tried uninstalling everything to see if it goes back to the way it was?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And yeah. And
if I uninstall everything, it goes back to normal.
Okay. So you have two options at that point. You can contact HP and see if they can give you some guidance, or you can contact Webroot and see if they know of a way to force themselves back into a premium position in front of HP. Or you can say, you know what, I'm willing to risk it for that 30 seconds or 1 minute or whatever.
Okay.
It's really not that big of a deal. It's more
thanks
of a nuisance.
Thanks for your help. You've helped me more years than I care to think about.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, Brian. And Dorian, if you hang tight, we'll get you off the air. You've held. We'll give you some one-on-one love, some attention.
Wow. Premium.
Hopefully you got something somewhere out of the show. The big thing is we've got it all posted at datadoctors.com/radio, including a link to the Facebook page where we'll try to follow up on some of these things that we talked about and provide answers. For Lewis at Mac Media, what's the number?
Hey, come on over to Mac Media. Go to www.macmediainc.com.
And the Data Doctors, we'll see you all next week.